everyone. Warm welcome to our service today. We're very depleted this morning. I don't know what's happened to our folks today. But a very warm welcome to Mr. Harold Liberty. He's been and taken the services for us here before, and we're delighted to have you with us again, Harold. Thank you very much for coming. Minnie Grive's Thanksgiving service will now be on Thursday, the 28th of April at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, for those of you who remember Minnie and would like to come along. You'll notice on your service sheet that the Deacon's Vestry is going to be open for prayer next Sunday from 20 to 10 until 10 o'clock. And this is something that will be happening on the second and fourth Sundays of each month, for those of you who are able to get here. And also you will see on your service sheet there's an open meeting after service next Sunday to talk about how we can help the Ukrainian refugees. Thank you. Morning.
Good morning, everyone. That works better. Good. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. Greetings to you. I bring you greetings this morning from Walsworth Road Baptist Church, from our minister, Andrew Hendon Pusey, currently recovering from COVID, poor fellow. So we're all chasing our tails with that one. But Andrew and the fellowship send you their greetings and love in Jesus' name. Greetings from North Bushy Baptist Church, whom I visited a little while ago, and they've asked me to take their greetings around to churches that I visit. Also from Breechwood Green Baptist Church in Luton. They too, little community out in the sticks, directly underneath the flight path of Luton Airport. So lovely for them. They have heavenly visitations every few minutes. Fortunately, not physically. But they too send you their love and greetings. In Jesus' name. Paul wrote these words to the little church in Corinth, speaking of what God has given. He said, "We have these treasures in jars of clay." That is, himself, the people who were in that church. Jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our very selves. And as part of this morning's service, we will be reflecting on the death of Jesus and his presence within these elements symbolically given to us. The living Christ, the paradox of life in death. That is Jesus, which he promises all. So we can celebrate, and let's do so as we sing firstly together number 14. If you have the book, copies there, Baptist Praise and Worship. Jubilate, jubilate everybody, serve the Lord in all your ways. Let's sing together, possibly a couple of times.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Let's give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who brings blessing to all from the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He has chosen us in him from before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in his sight. In his love, he, the Lord, has adopted us as his children through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. In him we've been redeemed through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our sins forgiven, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has so generously bestowed on each one of us. And he makes known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, shown to us in the life and example of Christ, so that we can follow that example and put it into effect. In him we have been chosen. We've been destined according to his plan to serve him, to be part of his kingdom, to be brothers and sisters in and with Christ Jesus for the praise of his glory. And so we bow before our God. We worship and adore him. We give him all honor and blessing for his goodness and grace to each one of us. He's made it possible to follow Christ, to be servants as Christ was the servant of all. Help us, O Lord, as we bow before you this morning, as we await your word in our hearts, to know you better, to renew our vows and promises to you, and at all times to give you glory and give you thanks. Amen. Let's say together the words that Jesus taught as we say as one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive those who against us. Lead not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Excuse me. Can't reach the mute button fast enough. We sing again. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way. Lord of the years, we bring our thanks today. It's number 535 in Baptist Praise and Worship.
Do be seated, thank you.
Okay, it's time for you to participate a little more actively and thoughtfully as we play What Happens Next. I'm going to play you one or two very short clips and they will pause. And I shall ask you what is about to happen. It may or may not be predictable. So let's see, thinking caps on as we come to our first clip. That's all you get? Any suggestions? Please call out. I'm slightly deaf in one ear.
Knocked out.
Who's knocked out?
The one on the left.
The one on the left. Any other offers?
The one on the right.
The one on the right. Any other offers? Let's find out. So everybody was right. Number two.
Backside. Now, if you live backside, it's going to be a little bit cold, a little bit wet. But let's go over to Northern Ireland, because in Northern Ireland, there's a place called Ballet Boating, which I can't believe. It's going to be patchy rain over there. Get rid of those.
She falls in. Okay. Any other? Let's find out.
Backside, it's going to be a little bit cold, a little bit wet. But let's go over to Northern Ireland, because in Northern Ireland, there's a place called Ballet Boating, which I can't believe. It's going to be patchy rain over there. Get rid of those.
So you were close.
I'm 12 for four. Blue facing, king of the swingers.
Any ideas? Knocks the opponent's ball in the hole. Any other suggestions?
Hits the stick and bounces out.
Six, hits the stick, bounces out. Any other offers? Let's take a look. Not a bad guess. She's leaving the jungle. What's going to happen? What's going to happen?
She faints.
She faints.
Let's find out. Yes. One of those moments you dread as a TV host. You're spot on. This one's moderately famous in its way. But what happens next? The clue is in the score, Germany 2, England 1. England score. Is this probable? Germany score an own goal?
Own goal, yes.
Let's find out. Yes, England did score. The only problem was it didn't count. VAR not happening at that time. Germany went on to win, was it 4-2? Had that goal been scored, the match might have been different. England's fortunes might have been very different. Yes, what happens next? Perhaps I just have to hold it down. That's better. We always want to know what's going to happen next. We do something and we wonder what the consequences are going to be. We're not sure. Perhaps we know that we're never going to be sure, but we desire to know. And it's very challenging sometimes for our confidence in the future and our faith that we take actions where we're not sure what the outcomes are to be. I'll pick up that theme a little bit later in some of the reading that we have and in what I want to reflect on. But I put it into our minds with this little activity now so that we can have this in our thoughts. And related a little bit also to the fifth Sunday in Lent, Passion Sunday, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, looking ahead to a very uncertain future. Let's hear our first reading, though, which comes from Isaiah chapter 55. And following this, the offerings are going to be presented. We will pray over those.
Reading is from Isaiah chapter 55. The Lord says, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, here is water. Come, you that have no money, buy corn and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, it will cost you nothing. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Why spend your wages and still be hungry? Listen to me and do what I say, and you will enjoy the best food of all. Listen now, my people, and come to me. Come to me and you will have life.
I will make a lasting covenant with you and give you the blessings I promised to David. I made him a leader and commander of nations, and through him I showed them my power. Now you will summon foreign nations. At one time they did not know you, but now they will come running to join you. I, the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, will make all this happen. I will give you honor and glory. Turn to the Lord and pray to him now that he is near. Let the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord, our God, who is merciful and quick to forgive. My thoughts, says the Lord, are not like yours, and my ways are different from yours. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways and thoughts above yours. My word is like the snow and the rain that come down from the sky to water the earth. They make the crops grow and provide seed for sowing and food to eat. So also will be the word that I speak. It will not fail to do what I plan for it. It will do everything I send it to do. You will leave Babylon with joy. You will be led out of this city in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into singing, and the trees will shout for joy. Cypress trees will grow where now there are briars. Myrtle trees will come up in place of thorns. This will be a sign that will last forever, a reminder of what I, the Lord, have done. Amen.
Thank you. Let's pray. We've heard the words of promise, the words of God's generosity. And in a spirit of humbleness, we bring offerings to serve this fellowship and God's purposes here. We pray, Lord, that you will accept these and all the offerings that we can bring of our hearts and minds, our skills and thoughts, our words and actions. Make them worthy of you and worthy to proclaim you as Lord and King. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As part of our time of intercession, I'd like to show you a 2-minute clip which reminds us of the work of BMS. And we will turn our thoughts partly to them.
Mission. What is mission?
It's over 200 years of matching God.
Oops. Lost the sound connection.
What is mission?
prayers while God calls us will answer.
Let's pray together.
Let's pray for the work of BMS, for all those who work in Didcot, administering, making BMS World Mission function. We pray for each one of them as they struggle in the face of financial adversity, growing need, and limited resources. We pray that they will maintain that vision, maintain the spirit and the strength and perseverance to see their work through, recognizing how it serves you and renewing commitment. We pray for all those who work in connection with BMS, those who are representatives afar, those who've gone from this country to serve under the name of BMS. Those organizations in those 30 countries that work alongside as partners, the local agents, the preachers and ministers from the countries themselves, the doctors, administrators, builders, lawyers that serve alongside. For each of those individuals, we pray for strength and wisdom, for perseverance in the justice of their cause, and for their personal safety, that in the face of apathy, opposition, and downright hatred, they may find the will and strength and the safety of your protecting arm to keep them safe and firm in their commitment. We pray especially this week for workers in Guinea, among communities that suffer in their health and in a lack of skills. We pray that their work will show those communities ways that they can earn enough to be able to pay the medical bills and learn enough in schools to establish themselves as able to work with working skills that will bring in income and food for families. We pray for the training that's going on in Gulu in Uganda and the work of Genesis Akaya, the agricultural trainer, the partner of BMS who works there. We pray for Ben Francis, leading a group of churches across India, where especially in these days and months, there is growing hostility to Christians and Christian worship. Keep him safe, and all those whom he works with. We pray for the work of Jane Edwards in Mozambique and Christian lawyers who are working there to help those who suffer from injustice and corruption in the courts. We pray for Louise Lynch, who works with Baptist groups in Asia, to help develop ways of safeguarding children and young women. May the learning and skills imparted help to improve the lives of children and young people and encourage an awareness of what it is to care one for another. We pray for the stewardship coordinator at BMS, Laura Lee Lovering, who works with BMS partners, coordinating and linking the work to help them all to share the good practice. Bless this work, Lord, which is in your name. You have said that your word will not go forth without fruit. And we pray for ourselves in our responses to work of this kind. Help us to be faithful in prayer, and to remember those involved
Help us to be faithful in support, in speaking of what is done and what is achieved in the name of Jesus. Help us to be faithful in giving, in providing resources where and how we can, that this kind of work may go on. We bring these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and is our example. In his name we pray. Amen. A hymn that relates to some of these thoughts. 523 in Baptist Praise and Worship. Father, hear the prayer we offer, not for ease that prayer shall be. 523, let's sing together. Do be seated. We're going to hear our second reading. This comes from John's Gospel in chapter 4 and is part of the story of the woman at the well, but we pick it up part way through after the first conversation.
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went back to the town, and said to the people there, "Come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be the Messiah?" So they left the town and went to Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples were begging Jesus, "Teacher, have something to eat." But he answered, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." So the disciples started asking among themselves, "Could somebody have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus to them, "is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work he gave me to do. You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and ready to be harvested. The one who reaps the harvest is being paid and gathers the crop for eternal life. So another who sows and the one who reaps will be glad together. The saying is true, One sows, another reaps. I have sent you to reap a harvest in a field where you did not work. Others worked there, and you profit from their work. Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message. And they said to the woman, "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world."
How many of you own an NFT? Oh, come along. It's a non-fungible token. Yes? No. Apparently, NFTs, non-fungible tokens, are a thing, as they put it these days. I say real, but not quite sure. Non-fungible tokens, they're digital objects, copies of which can be made available to anybody. So anybody can have a copy. But the thing itself, this digital thing, only exists within the digital world and is only held by whoever paid for it. It's strictly digital. It doesn't have a physical nature such as this cup, this glasses case, this organ. It exists digitally. But it's a thing, and people are paying thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars for NFTs. People are prepared to pay for and value these things that have no material form. Maybe you're more familiar with Bitcoin. And a sort of version of it. And it raises huge questions. It would appear that this particular king's new clothes really do exist. And that little boy who shouts out he hasn't got anything on is after all mistaken. For these non-fungible tokens do seem to be a thing for people, sufficiently for them to take it seriously enough to invest thousands and thousands of dollars. NFTs, the new investment. We tend to be a bit more practical than that. We tend to want to work for a more tangible outcome. We like to see the pay packet each week, each month, if not in the bank statement, then physically in our hands. And that's been important for a long time. Look at this passage that we read in the story of the woman at the well. And Jesus quotes two proverbs in it. The first is in verse 35. He quotes the proverb a bit like the "next year in Jerusalem" that members of the Jewish diaspora will say to one another. Hopefully, we haven't been there yet, they're saying, but next year we'll get to Jerusalem, the heart place of our worship. Jesus quotes a saying a bit like that. It's still 4 months until harvest. It's coming. We're going to get there. We're not there yet, but the harvest is coming. An opportunity coming up. And that proverb would have struck a familiar chord with the listeners to the stories and the conversations that were going on with the agricultural people in that area, the Samaritan area. But he goes on and quotes another one as well in verse 37. One sows, another reaps. relate that also to what was said in verse 36. The one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. One sows, another reaps. I'm sending you to reap what you've not sown. The sower doesn't necessarily see the outcome of the sowing. That's the privilege of the reaper. But the sower's work is recognized in what Jesus is saying as part of what's gone on. The fact that the outcome isn't necessarily seen makes no difference, for others will reap what the sower has distributed. The sower earns the money, and if you've ever tried sowing, you'll actually know how tricky it is. You can't simply toss the grain to the ground. What you end up with is lots of little piles of grain. It's not smoothed out. The sower who knows their trade can scatter it smoothly. And watching the hands move is quite therapeutic in its way. The sower earns their money just as much as the reaper. In this day and age, investors look to a return on their investment, a quick one in many cases, something measurable, something defined, a percentage, a target that's met. It's much harder for people, for example, who are teachers. I declare an interest, albeit a retired one. Sowing seeds of a kind in the hearts and minds of young people, but having no idea what the outcome would be. Teachers fulfill the sower role, not seeing the long-term outcomes for their pupils, except occasionally. Last December, I was in pantomime. Oh, yes, I was. Oh, yes, I was. And at the end of the show, one of the audience came to me and said, there's somebody over there who knows you. So I looked over and I recognised Sue, who was also ex-teacher, now retired from the school I used to teach at in Luton. Hi, great, Sue, great, good to see you, welcome. And she was a little bit surprised I remembered, because I'm not very good at that kind of thing. So her eyes lit up, and her friend, who had been an SEN support teacher at the school as well, was there. So we both said, how are you getting on, whatever. And I was able to remind her that she and her other teacher in her department had taught my son Michael, who is now in a career directly using the skills that they had been teaching him at the school. And it's thanks to her and her colleague that he now has the full-time profession that he has. You don't often get that. It was a privilege to be able to say that to her. Artists, likewise, don't always see the impact of their work. They create a piece of artwork that people see. Occasionally you get a hint of it. The news about Banksy's latest mural or something like it. It makes people think. It has an effect. But you don't always see that in an artist's work. The artist does not know how it's going to be received beyond the finished product. The work of the church is like this too. The work of the Christians in workplaces and ordinary places is like this. The activity of Christians in a social setting, the word, the kindly look, the time to offer, is like this. The visible worship of Christians is like this. We do not see the outcomes. We sow. And we trust God for the outcomes. And that's why we read the words in Isaiah in chapter 55, where God promises to his people that there will be fruit, there will be prosperity from what he gives to them. They will be restored from Babylon. His word goes out, not unfulfilled. Good things are promised for their future. If they step out from Babylon, they will step out to prosperity if they do the will and follow the path of God their Father. It is Passion Sunday, and Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, suffering, as he wonders about the future. And the sweat comes off him in great drops, like drops of blood. And he prays to his Father, for he is feeling all the human weakness of concern for the future. But he entrusts the outcome to God, his Father. Not my will, he says, but yours be done. The challenge of the words, the story in John's Gospel, is also the encouragement to each one of us. We feel limited, we feel small, we feel weak. Our treasures are in jars of clay. But the words of this story say to us again and again, be the sowers, for they earn their reward, even if others may reap. What is done in God's name here within this fellowship does not go unrewarded, even if we do not see the outcomes of it. God's word goes forth and will be fulfilled. And so I take encouragement from these words, and I offer that encouragement to you too. To keep faithful, to continue to serve, to sow what you can where you can. And others will reap a harvest that you have offered and served and sown. And that God's kingdom will continue to grow. And as those who are about to assist with communion come forward, which if you will do, please do, let's reflect that Christ too was in this situation, remained faithful, and from it comes, out of death, new life and new hope for all. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are tired, who are carrying heavy loads. I will give you rest. Take my yoke, put it on you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming to this table. We recognize that we are weak and sinful. We have let you down. As we come to share this meal, help us to recognize what you have done for us and be thankful for it. We confess where we've gone wrong and ask your forgiveness for words, actions, thoughts and deeds that aren't in accordance with your will. We lay them before you now and await your forgiveness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Scripture, we read that Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. And in the same way also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. On that night, when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and gave thanks. Let's give thanks now.
Dear Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we give thanks that we can meet round this table regularly to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion and give thanks for the bread and the wine, signifying your death and the way of salvation for us. We acknowledge, Lord, that we fall short in our efforts to live our lives in accordance with your teaching, and ask forgiveness for all that is unacceptable in your sight. We pray, Lord, that you will keep us close and guide us in all our dealings. Thank you that we have this sanctuary in which to worship, and we pray that you will bless our church here and our endeavors to witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
After he'd given thanks, he took the bread and broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Keep doing this in remembrance of me. I invite you to eat the bread, each one, as you receive it, and individually offer your prayers. After supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Keep doing this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I invite you to retain the cup, and we will drink together as a sign of our unity in Christ.
blood of Christ that is shed for each one of us and which keeps us in eternal life. We give thanks to God for his love and grace. Father, hear the prayer we offer, not for ease that prayer shall be, but for strength, that we may ever live our lives courageously. Be our strength in hours of weakness, and in our wanderings be our guide. Through endeavor, failure, danger. Father, we know that you are at our side. For in these elements that we have shared, the living Jesus Christ is shown to be within each one of us, his Holy Spirit, to guide, to comfort, and to strengthen. And so as we offer once again to you all that we have and all that we are, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Following the example of Jesus Christ, who died and lives again. In his name we pray. Amen. We share our final song together, number 582, which sends us, challenges us out to tell all the world of Jesus. 582. Now to him who is, by means of his power working in us, able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and forever. Amen.